This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Son of a biscuit. Is it 1-1?
No, that's 2.
That's not 2.
It's absolutely 2.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So it's 2-1?
Yes.
Damn. If I lose 2 weeks in a row, it is going to be a devastating stain on my career.
Good.
Corn Chip texts the show, 71307. Start your text with fam. He said, hit that hockey horn about 7:30 on the daily. Wakes us all up.
It's not 7:30, though. It's
well, not anymore, but it was earlier.
All right.
Turns out they run 2 of those a day through here. Texter said, I love the air horn. Let's go. Again, hit me on the text line. Give me a good text and earn yourself a go horn celly for a good text.
Yeah, but you're giving the horns. When you first brought it about, you said it's going to be texter of the day. And now how many times
have
you done it in
a
row?
I did not say texter of the day. I said, if you reach out and touch us textually and I like it, you'll catch a goal horn. All right? But you guys, it's got to be good textuality.
I think rarity makes it stand out more.
But we want textual healing.
Stop textual healing.
J-Bo.
That's not good.
I didn't say it was. J-Bo, Texas show, said I was just driving on the train tracks when you played the train horn. Scared the out of me.
Right. You're going to be causing accidents, man. What are you doing? We care about the Armada. You don't need to be doing that.
Texas said, Rob, I honestly would bet that Bill Belichick will not be the head coach by the time the Gamecocks play them in 2028. I actually think that's probably a good possibility. There is a theory that one of our stream audience brought in earlier, and Lonzo... I don't know if you agreed with it, we're repeating it, we're what, but there's a theory cooking right now.
I brought it up and said that I read it somewhere. I was discussing it with the stream when you were out of the room.
The theory is that Bill may have gotten this job because he is bringing his son Steven in on the coaching staff. There is a theory cooking right now that Bill may have taken this job to set it up for Steven, to come in there. Organize the Chapel Hill Tar Heels in a Belichickian way so that he can ride off into the sunset whenever he is ready to, and the next Hoodie is in line to take over. Hoodie Jr. is ready to step into that role and take over that spot. And I don't necessarily think that is all that aloof of a theory, to be honest with you. And it's a very strong possibility.
Yeah, I was going to say, they may not play that Belichick, but they may be playing a different Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Hoodie goes in there genuinely and accomplishes something here, and again, I'm not prepared to say he will or won't, but if Hoodie goes in there and he genuinely accomplishes something with the Tar Heels, and then he says, yeah, I want to go ahead and turn this thing over to my kid, and the Belichickian way has worked in Chapel Hill, then yeah. Why wouldn't they do that, right? Like, spend some time coaching for him, getting your hands dirty in the college football muck in the mud, and let's see what happens. I don't really think it's all that. I don't think it's all that bad of a play, to be honest with you. I don't think it's all that bad of a play to go in that direction. Texter says UNC and the Hoodie, we are in South Carolina. We don't give up. all F-bombs covered up there, by the way. All three of them. This is a interesting spot to discuss a show philosophy. Here's the thing. There's a station in town that does primarily, almost exclusively, Clemson coverage. There are 1,000 stations in town that do primarily South Carolina Gamecock coverage. I have never made it a secret that on this show, we talk about sports. And we talk about, yes, I want to make them local angle. I want to make them local angle. But I also think that Bill Belichick being hired by the University of North Carolina to become the new head coach, the new HC up there in Chapel Bill, I think that that is a story that has the potential to become a historical mile marker in the landscape of college football. I think this is something that could very well shape, good or bad. Because again, as I've said a bunch of times, if the Deion thing fell apart at Colorado, this may not happen. But not only did it not fall apart, but Colorado's good. Colorado's good this year. Not great. Not great. But we always knew it was going to take some time to turn around. What were they, 2-10 before the year we got there? To turn that around and bring them to where the Buffs want to be before they're in the Buff publicly, right? So I think that because the Deion thing accelerated so rapidly that other teams are going to start looking to maybe follow that same model. And if Hoodie goes into North Carolina and that works, let's keep it a buck. A lot of you Clemson folks spent quite a bit of time talking about the potential for Dabo Swinney to be relieved of his duties if that team doesn't get back to where they need to get back to, right? Who's to say that you wouldn't be next in the bring a celebrity head coach to come run the program? I don't know. It's interesting. Texas says Steve Belichick must have been a heck of a hire if he couldn't get a job without his dad. I think Steve Belichick could have got a job. Listen, I can promise you there is some school somewhere that would have hired Steve Belichick if only because he has the opportunity to talk to his dad, if nothing else. But now you bring in not just the Hoodie, you bring in his kid. So if the Hoodie's program works, if the Hoodie's program goes well, they just roll it on to the next guy. Into the next Belichick. And I don't think that's a terrible idea. All right, we'll talk more about this later on, but we got to run to a break when we come back here in just mere moments from now. The host of the Panther Nation podcast, Rashad Beard, joins us on the show. We'll talk about what turned out to be a hell of a game with the Philadelphia Eagles last week. We'll ask him about the comments from Steve Smith about Bryce Young. We got that coming up for you and more when we talk to Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. That's coming up in the very next segment of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Every Thursday at 8:40, we welcome into the radio broadcast the young man who hosts a podcast that has exploded in popularity over the years. And I'm not saying I take credit for a part of that, but I don't not take credit for a part of that. The host of the Panther Nation podcast, my guy, Rashad Beard, joining us here on the show. What's up, big fella?
What's going on, guys? I'm excited. Good stuff.
You should be. And we're going to dive right in. Because the Panthers were one draw football away from going on the road and pulling off the upset of the year up at Philly. Rashad, it's kind of an interesting spot because I said going into that game, look, I think the resurgence of Bryce Young has got Panther fans feeling some kind of way. And it should. He looks a heck of a lot more like what you wanted when you traded and drafted for the guy. But I also think there needed to be that mentality of like, look, we know what we are. We know where we are. We know this was always going to be a rebuilding year. Now, all of a sudden, you're going up to Philly, an 11-win NFC contender. And if XL doesn't drop the football, you're walking out of there with a win. There's a hell of a lot of reasons to be excited right now.
Yeah, no, we played Philly really tough. I was excited to see that. And again, we've been doing this the past couple of weeks. The change in this team has been drastic. It's been great. And here's the thing, like, we're not even fully healthy. You got guys that are banged up. So I'm excited. I feel good about it. I hate that we lost in the manner that we did. Like you said, XL with the drop, not ideal, especially when it's dropped in the bucket by Bryce Young. And I know we're probably going to talk about Bryce individually, but man, for him to come out there and go 98 yards and you know, just to see him come out there on the field with his diabolical smile and it's like he's just ready to go. That's what we wanted to see out of Bryce Young, and that's what we're starting to see out of Bryce Young. And that gives the week after week after week, it just, you know, hey, he's the guy. Like, he's the guy. Let's rally behind him. And man, I'm excited. He played a great game, and just a little, if he had some more help. And just these wide receivers just could catch the ball, things would be a lot different here in Carolina, and we would be a lot more excited than what we are right now.
I gave some credit earlier that I don't think has, outside of you guys, has been pointed out that much, and that it's for the criticism of roster construction, which I think you have to go back and you got to put on Fitterer and you got to put on Reich and you got to some degree put on Matt Rhule and others. Morgan and Canales took a swing by going and getting Deontay, and it turns out the guy's a head case, and he's already shown his ass up in Baltimore since he got moved on. They tried to go get him a one. It didn't work out, but to me, you kind of know what that piece you need is in this spot. It kind of clarifies the offseason a little bit for me. On top of that, and this is what the mantra I've been saying, and I will admit, a lot of this comes just because I like the dude a lot, and Xavier Leggett. We were playing some of the audio from his podcast with the St. Brown brothers, which is freaking hilarious if you haven't heard it yet. I think that dude's gonna need, we knew he was gonna need some polish when he came in, right? I've said the whole time, at South Carolina, he could just out-physical freak everybody. It's not going to be that way at the NFL. He's going to have to polish up. I think you polish him, you find the one, and you take that team and the grit and the fight we saw out of them Sunday up at Philly, Rashad Beard. Like I said in week one, you got the makings of a good football team on the way.
Yeah, we're close, man. And again, like you said, we did know that we needed a little we need to polish up XL. But man, and I know that the word on the street, he's dealing with a little bit of a wrist injury. My whole mantra behind that, if it's not on the injury report, man, we can't really talk about it. I know everybody's banged up right now, so it just kind of is what it is. But man, it was tough. And XL, man, he got to catch that football. That's a drop in the bucket. You got to catch that one. And man, things are gonna be different. But like you said, it's gonna take some time. And we did try to go out there and get us a wide receiver one. It did not work out. And what we have to commend Canales and Morgan for trying, right? They did try to get something going there with Deontay Johnson, didn't work out, but we still were able to move forward. Guys like Coker, which should be coming back, XL, you know, he's got to develop a little bit. Adam Thielen is playing out of his mind right now. Things are good. We're in a good spot. I just wish we could get some W's, but being the way things have been in Carolina for the past, you know, 4-6 years. This is a step in the right direction. I'm here for it.
So let me ask you this question, and we'll talk about BY here for just a minute. On average, how many yards a game worth of passing you think Bryce Young is losing due to straight drop? I'm talking drops, not the ball's a little too high and the guy can't make expect. I'm just talking in the numbers drops.
Dude, at least 60 to 70, at least.
Yeah, I said I told Lonzo earlier, I thought 30 to 40 yards a game, minimum 30 to 40 yards a game is being left off the stat sheet just on drops. And I think if you get that corrected, the dude's going to look even better than he already looks. But, man, you talk about a 98-yard drive back against the wall. By the way, including one play where dude was dead to rights in the end zone and somehow had enough Crisco on the jersey to slip out and then drop a dart down the sideline on the run. Like, you're seeing all the little individual aspects that you need to see out of the guy, and he continues to put it together week by week. Steve Smith Jr. talked about it a bunch on his podcast this week about all the development you're seeing, whatever. That benching, and I said this earlier, I know it sounds awful, I don't mean it to, Andy Dalton getting in that car wreck might have been the best thing that happened to the Carolina Panthers this year. It sucks to say it. It makes me feel gross, but it maybe put BY out on the field with some pressure on his back, and hey, there's nobody to come save you this time, and you're seeing the results from it, man.
Rob, that's something you think in your head and you don't say out loud, man. You can't You can't say that.
Thank you. That's what I said earlier. It's like, stop doing that. Don't
Rashad,
do that. Yeah,
do you want me to BS here? Or you want me to keep you real, big dog?
Hey, they don't want you to pod is what I say on my show. But yeah, you're keeping it real. I mean, honestly, that is the truth. You know, we would have never seen this. This had, you know, Andy Dalton, because Canales said it. He said Andy Dalton was going through a couple struggles, but he was playing well too. We wanted to continue seeing Andy Dalton. So if that never occurred, we would have never seen Bryce Young play in the manner he's playing. And I think he just needed that benching. And again, I was critical of it. I'm first to call myself to the carpet when I'm wrong, and I was wrong about the benching. It worked. He was able to step back, see what's going on, and he looks fantastic. He looks like a completely different quarterback, and I'm happy that he's made that turn, and let's hope it continues. I think it will continue moving forward.
Let's talk about one aspect of this that Steve Smith brought up on his pod, and I thought, by the way, friend of the show, Steve Smith, for both of us now, he brought up, he said, look, Dan Morgan – and Dave Canales, obviously, but Dan Morgan's the one that told BY, hey, you're getting benched. But he also said, I'm your biggest cheerleader. I'm your biggest – outside of your parents, I'm the dude that believes that we're going to give you the opportunity. Because Bryce Young, there's that stat that went around. Like, Bryce Young didn't lose a football game from, like, his – I don't know, the day he was born until he got to Charlotte, it felt like. And Dan Morgan said, look, we believe in you. We know you're the guy, but we want to give you the opportunity to sit – and look and learn and understand from an angle where there is no pressure on you. All we need you to do is grow and develop. And Dan Morgan, apparently, according to Steve Smith, kind of gave him that little bump of like, you are still the guy. This is not a long-term thing. We just want to give you no pressure on you for a few weeks. I had to tell you, dude, like my belief in Dan Morgan is trending up rapidly.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that, too, is that Steve also said that is a rarity, right? That doesn't occur very often when your GM is your biggest cheerleader and wants you to succeed, because at the end of the day, his job is on the line, right? Especially with that type of pick and putting all your marbles in the Bryce Young basket, and for that not to work out, that could potentially be his job. So that is a rarity to have, and actually it be true, right? People say that, but actually – it's actually being executed in action that you're my guy, believe in you. We're going to give you what you need and you're going to be successful and I want you to win, right? That doesn't occur here in the NFL just because everybody's job's on the line. So I'm proud of Dan Morgan. I'm proud of Canales also as well. This is working out. And I know it's been bumpy, right? It's not been great over the past couple of years, but things are starting to level out here in Carolina, and I'm happy. I'm extremely happy for Dan Morgan. I'm happy for everybody involved, because also with that, you know, it's also being stated that, you know, David Tepper is taking a step back, right? It's something we talked about on the show, and all of these things are correlated, right? With the success of the step forward that the team is taking, things are starting to work out, and I'm just happy where we are. I have no complaints other than the fact we got to get some dubs, but no complaints at all with the way things are shaping out.
No, you shouldn't. And by the way, and I know there's a conversation about Philadelphia's passing attack, and you got AJ Brown out there complaining. You got defensive players out there talking smack, and that's all well and good. Y'all kept Jalen Hurts to 108 passing yards. You let him in the end zone twice, but hey, when you got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and these cats, like, they're going to find the end zone occasionally, but you kept Jalen Hurts to 108 passing yards. So I think it's fair to ask, and one of the guys in the chat just said, are these teams playing a soft, expecting a pushover, but find out we're not just rolling over? Rashad, I'm going to say no to that. I listen, Philly's in a weird spot right now. They're you know, we've talked about the Chiefs being maybe the worst one-loss team I've ever seen. Philly might be the worst two-loss team I've ever played. You were in Philly. That's a notoriously tough place to play at the Link, and you kept Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown to 108 passing yards. There's something cooking on both sides of the football right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. People are always going to say that, right? When Carolina is starting to have success, people are going to wonder if teams are playing down, right? And that could be the case. We're never going to know the answer to that question, right? We can only speculate. But, you know, listen, at the end of the day, I don't care. I just want my team to go out there and play hard. It doesn't matter what team we're going against. Just go out there. If they're playing down, then we got to take advantage, right? And so, that's just something we're never going to know the answer to. We just got to, you know, play it week to week.
How you feeling about Dave Canales right now? Because play calling or locker room leader side or a little bit of both, where are we at on Dave Canales right now?
No, I love it. I love where things are going. I mean, listen, I've had some questions about it. I've had some questions about whether his, you know, happy-go-lucky, all positive attitude is going to work out, especially when things are not going well. But I love it. I think he's been telling the truth, right? It's one of those things where he has been out there telling us this is what's happening, this is what's occurring, and it's been relatively true, right? So as far as the coaching, I think he's improved last week. Last week on our show, we broke down some of the red zone woes. This week, we were 2 for 2 in the red zone, and we're actually going for it. We, you know, somebody on our show coined him Casino Canales, right? You know, going for it on fourth down, right? So that's something that did not occur last week, but occurred this week. So things are improving. We got to remember he's a 1-year coach. He deserves some grace, and things are going well, in my opinion. Everything locked from the locker room to play calling, I have little to no complaints. I mean, I can nitpick for sure, but I won't do that in his first year. I love where Canales is taking us. Things are going well.
Rashad Beard, host the Panther Nation podcast, joins us every Thursday at 8:40 to talk a little bit of Carolina Panther football. Team at 3-10, but like we've pointed out, last 3, 4, 5 games have been some absolute fights. Rashad Beard, here's something that I have not been able to say to you for the past 2 years we've been running this thing at each other. Panthers are favorites this weekend over the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, right? But I wonder how they're going to take that, right? I wonder, are they going to start to feel themselves a little bit and be like, all right, we got this under control. Everybody's feeling us now. And are they just going to go out there and play? So it's going to be interesting. Like you said, it's something a position we have not been in a long, long, long time. So it's going to be curious. It's going to be interesting to see how we handle that.
The Cowboys are imploding, and yes, it is hilarious. I got Micah Parsons out there throwing temper tantrums and leaving the field early. Jerry Jones doing his thing at every single game about how it's everybody's fault except his. Man, it is hilarious. This game feels to me, and I there's only one concern I have, which is if you get a ticked off Micah Parsons who wants to end Bryce Young, as he does most quarterbacks he plays. But outside of that, man, like, this team feels like it is imploding. This team feels to me like this is a real good opportunity for Carolina to go up in an opponent that's just not that good, but is also mentally broken right now. Forget a win or a loss here. I know you want a dub. I know you all want dubs. I understand that. But forget a win or a loss. This game feels to me, Rashad, like if Canales goes out there, calls a good game, and the 11 on the field at any given time execute a good game, forget a win or a loss, you walk out of there and look like a damn football team that is organized and is executing, I'm going to feel real good about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 1,000%. And I think it's going to be a statement game too, right? Because obviously we know what happens when Dallas comes to town, right? The stadium takeover and all that good stuff. And it's time for us to push back on that and really show that we're here to stay. You know what I mean? So I think it's going to be a great, great run. I think we're going to play well. I think we have been playing well. And if we continue to play the way we have been playing, I think we're going to be in fine position to go out there and get a W. As long as we're healthy and things are going well and practicing well, I trust Canales to get this team in the right position to win.
Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast joins us every Thursday at 8:40 a.m. to talk Carolina Panther football. The Cats at home this weekend, welcoming in the burning husk of what's left of the Dallas Cowboys. This one at 1 p.m. on Sunday at the bank. I'm assuming you're going to be there.
Oh, 1,000%. You know that. It's going to be cold, but I'll be there.
What's cold to you, dude? We look at like it's going to be like the 50s, ain't it?
No, I think it's going to be in the 40s somewhere. But it's all right. We'll be there, bundled up.
51 degrees, according to AccuWeather,
is it?
Rashad.
Okay,
51.
My apologies.
You might as well throw on a swimsuit and a tank top, my guy.
Hey, my bad. Okay, AccuWeather. Mr. Weatherman, you get a new. It's time for a new role there.
This is true. I made a joke one time back in my old station about being meteorologist Rob Brown because my old station made me read the weather report, and the local news dude called me on the air and told me that I was a chump. Because I'm not a real meteorologist, Rashad. So take that and go enjoy your 40 degrees.
Yeah.
Look, he tuned out. He's like, I don't care. Well, I don't care. Appreciate you, big fella.
He was
fella.
Waiting to see what you did in return. I mean, nothing. You got called a chump. You
nothing.
Didn't do nothing?
Yeah.
Then he was right.
Lonzo's called me a chump 3 times today. Rashad Beard, make sure you follow him on X at Panther Nation PC. Make sure you check him out on YouTube. Like and subscribe to the Panther Nation podcast. Big Dog, enjoy the game. We'll see you next Thursday, pal.
All right, sounds good, man. Thank you.
You got it. Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast. Now, Lonzo from the Rob Brown Show reads you the Sports Flash.
By the way, weather guys, man, they're mean. You don't want to mess with them. First transfer portal names are starting to land in their new homes. Former Boston College quarterback Thomas Castellanos. Whatever, has committed to Florida State, according to a social media. Castellanos left Boston College after losing the starting job back in November. He has 1 year of eligibility remaining and reunites with new FSU offensive coordinator Gus Malzahn. Coach him at UCF. You do know I did that on purpose, right? Whatever. One of the biggest names in baseball free agency has found a new home as lefty Garrett Crotchet. It is Crochet. Has been traded from the White Sox to the Red Sox in return for a handful of prospects in Crochet's first year as starting role. He went 146 innings with 209 strikeouts and just 33 walks. Tune in to Saturday, 11:30, as Furman takes on South Carolina State right here on The Fan.